This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
What's good, everybody? I'm John Jastrzemski, host of New York with JJ, the first podcast on The Ringer and Spotify dedicated to you, the New York sports fan. We've got episode three nights a week, plus bonus episodes whenever news breaks. So make sure you follow the show on Spotify.
Yes, my people. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Mac Mania podcast. There's a guy with a lawnmower right now running amok, man. I'm talking about lawnmower mania running wild, brother. Flobo boys, Jack Farmer. I'm about to fight this lawnmower guy. The grass is not that hi, what's going on, y'all?
It has to be cut right now, oh, is what I'm saying. God, you know what I'm saying? Dude, like, I'm good, man. So glad to be on it, man.
Come on, man. Bro. Like, damn, man. It's not, there's no grass out there.
There's no going over the concrete, shooting rocks and gravel everywhere.
Staring you down while he's doing it.
Hey, landscaper, I'm trying to do a show here, man. Gentlemen, what's going on? How was your weekend? What's going on, guys?
Man, it's been pretty good. Well, here in LA, though, we've been having lightning and thunder and rain. And I know people who live in other places are like, it rains so much more here, or the weather's colder here. But I get it. But I pay $100 million a week to live in Southern California. I do it so that I can have 80 degrees and a cool ocean breeze every single day. And it's been ruined, and I want my money back.
Yeah, it's totally true, man, because when you get weather, you're kind of like, yo, who made that note to the studio today to put rain outside? Like, this is not right.
The property value must have dropped. $100 million sounds pretty good.
Yes. Yeah. You got to know where to look.
Right.
The market must be booming right now. No, listen, it's taking a dip. Guys, we had a draft on Friday night. We had a draft last night. So I wanted to get right into it. I wanted to do kind of a thing because there was a lot of picks, a lot of things going on, a lot of things they did online, a lot of things they did on social media. But I wanted to do like something a little different. I guess I want to do SmackDown's biggest pick, Raw's biggest pick. So let me start with you, Flobito.com. What was SmackDown's biggest pick in your opinion?
Just before I get into it, I just want to say I like the fact there's two people doing the Raw draft picks. It felt weird Stephanie doing it last year by herself.
Right, even though it's kind of awesome.
But for SmackDown, man, I got to say it's Sheamus for two reasons. This guy's a legend, most decorated superstar on the brand. Only thing he's missing from his collection is the Intercontinental Championship, so Nakamura, watch out. But then SmackDown also retains Cesaro, so that could be one of the returns of the best tag teams, the modern era, the Bar. Yeah.
Ooh, Jack, what's a you?
Regarding Sheamus, I think he's a great pickup. I think he's on the best run he's been on in years. So I'm a huge Sheamus fan.
Yeah, and I like that too. It'd be really great if they brought the Bar back, to be honest with you. So like, I'm all for that. I wasn't even thinking about that, Flo, but that's really good stuff, Jack. What's your pick? What's the biggest pickup in Jack Farmer's opinion?
So first off, we're saying pickup. So someone who wasn't on SmackDown before, because let's not pretend Roman Reigns. Let's not pretend he's not the best.
That was my second choice, really.
re-signing, if you will.
Yeah, so the pickup, I'd say Shayna Baszler. Because right now, Shayna Baszler's on a roll. She's back to the killer she was in NXT. She's breaking arms. And not just nobody's. I mean, she's breaking Nia Jax's arm. She's breaking Eva Marie's arm, who came back with big fanfare. And something I've noticed about the WWE is a lot of times wrestlers will go through rough patches before they really shoot off to the moon, so to speak. And Shayna Baszler had a kind of a rough year, but now she's back on track. And I think that she's now going to be the person that is looking across the ring from Sasha Banks, from Charlotte Flair, these two big names that are going to need fresh matchups. And I think she's going to be that person that's in that spot and in those world title pictures going forward. I think that's a big pickup for them.
I hope you're right about that, because it was a gross miscarriage of justice what happened to her after Elimination Chamber. Elimination Chamber, they thought she was going to get skyrocketed, take that next step, and literally tapping out like four great competitors, and then all of a sudden nothing happened, and everyone was kind of like, what are you doing? And next thing you know, they put her with Nia Jax and so on and so forth. I get all that stuff, so I hope this refuels and revitalizes and maybe instills the faith in Shayna Baszler that I feel they lost for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why they did, but I loved her. I think in NXT she was amazing. I think she put that women's division on her back. I mean, while she was crushing everyone in it at the same time. But like I said, I think sometimes she had a rough year. She's taking a lot of pins, but I think you look back at like the Street Profits and how they started doing SNL weekend update bits and like getting dunked on by the Viking Raiders, and now they're one of the best tag teams going. I think a lot of times Matt Riddle, another guy who was losing left and right, now he's one of the biggest stars on Raw. I think now is the time that Shayna Baszler's proven that losses don't matter to her. She's going to be a good person to have on TV regardless, and that's usually when they start to get the pickup, and I think she's going to start getting some big wins, and I think she's going to be a big part of SmackDown going forward.
I have a caveat there. As long as they rebuild and go back to the Submission Magician, correct, the Queen of Spades, the Cage Fighter era, which people remember from that Elimination Chamber era, was great. But to me, it felt like it was flattening of that character. I'm a Cage Fighter. Is that the same thing as like, look, I'm going to find different ways to break it down. Right. So you go back to that and that division, because it really isn't a submission specialist on any other brand or regardless of gender. You put that on Shayna Baszler, that could be the reason people tune in SmackDown.
Yeah, I could agree, man. Like I said, so let's hope for that. It's a good choice. So let's hope for that for her sake, that it does something for her, because I don't want to see, you know what I mean? Like I said, I think people like Shayna Baszler for good reason. You know, people that watch NXT, people that see what she represents, I think it'd be really good to see what she's up to. Flo was doing the Queen of Spades. Like, I wish y'all could see this foolishness. I got Hit Row, man. I can't believe y'all didn't pick Hit Row.
Hit Row.
I thought it was refreshing. I thought it was nice. I thought when I seen their name called, I was like, the company believes in them. They believe in the squad. Shout out to Isaiah Swerve Scott.
Yeah, Hit Row's amazing. I think they're going to be a difference maker on the brand, because they look and act different than everyone else on that brand. So they're going to stand out. And Swerve, I'm a big fan of Swerve, been a big fan of his for a long time. He's a Tacoma native, much like myself. Shout out Defy Wrestling. I think he's got a lot of things. So I'm a big fan of them. I'm a big fan to see him on the biggest stage.
Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that Hit Row is actually a good group. Nice pickup, NXT getting involved, but I'm gonna hold any kind of reservations or judgment, man. The last time we saw them on NXT, they were a group that wasn't seen a lot. So we were just talking about this. Jack and I, we talk about NXT every week. We say, hey, look, man, when was the last time the North American title was defended? And in the last two times we saw Hit Row, they got defeated by Legado de Fantasma. So I have nightmares of how Sanity was when they got called up to SmackDown. So I'm going to wait. But it's a cool pickup for SmackDown regardless.
Yeah, I got Hit Row just because of Swerve and what he represents. And I remember when I first watched him and I first seen him. And like I said, I like his first rendition, you know, without Hit Row. Mm-hmm. You know, I like Swerve, but what I was my most concerning was, what are they going to do with him? What are they going to do with the brother? You know, because there's if a brother doesn't do like a certain thing, he doesn't fall into a certain niche, the next thing you know, he kind of falls by the wayside. And I like Swerve, because Swerve marched to his own drum, marched to his own beat, was doing something a little different. Literally was letting his in-ring ability do the talking. You know, so I that's what I really liked. I was like, okay, what's going to happen to him, though? I was worried about what's going to happen to him, because I think he puts on banger matches, and if you follow his earlier career, you knew he was destined for something. Guess we hit Row. He starts something new. Does something a little different. That gains a little traction. Fox clearly wants it, so they bring him on. But Flobo, now all of a sudden you scared me, man. I was excited, and then you scared me.
My work here is done.
I have some trepidation.
I mean, anytime someone comes up from NXT, there's always a 50-50. I mean, no matter what you did in NXT, it's a different ball game on the main roster. It's 50-50. But to your point, Evan, the thing about Swerve, and one of the reasons I like him, and Hit Row, is they're all people who have talents beyond wrestling. And wrestling's the number one thing, obviously, in WWE. But I think when you can add something beyond wrestling, it adds more to you and gives you more value. And I think that's going to be one of those things that lets them have leverage to do better going forward.
Yeah, and I know the big man likes that. He likes that crossover. He likes those different things, like in entertainment and who they connect with, and the potential they can do, and the casual eyes they can bring with hip hop and rap and things like that. I know that's a big thing as well. So, because Top Dollar, man, I'm telling you, he is no slouch, man. I'm telling you right now, I hold him in high regard lyrically. So, you know, shout out to the Top Dollar. No one hotter than Top Dollar. But,
nah,
baby.
Nada.
Yeah, man. Top Dollar! But, so, yeah, I'm excited to see what Hit Row does. Are they going to let them do a new day-ish for the fellas, you know what I mean? Is B-Fab going to get the cook? You know, that's what I'm curious to see. Is it going to be a Swerve show and they're backing them up? There's a lot of questions I have. Hit Row.
Off the top, though, the fact that we all just did the not-nada
thing. But the freestyle right now?
No, yeah, I'm gonna drop the freestyle.
He said off the top of the dome.
Let me just drop some bars on you real quick.
I'm surprised, but yes,
I know.
I was going to say, the fact that we all did the not-nada thing, I think shows that there's something there. It's kind of like how whenever you say Adam Cole, someone's got to go, bebe.
Bebe.
Like, it's like legally,
you're legally obligated.
Yes. You'll be called before the judge. Like, hey, so you're accused of not saying bebe after Adam Cole?
I was like, how did you get my phone number? Like, listen, just, there's a lot of legal ramifications here.
What do you think tracking you has been for?
It was one time. I'll let you go with a warning, but let it happen again. Good Lord. Yeah, so that's not bad, man. That's not bad.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
So let me transition to Raw, guys. Raw's biggest pickup. Flobo, what say you?
So I was looking at the Raw's pickup overall, right? Because I kind of miss the days of having the war rooms and seeing which network was which
cool,
one.
Yeah.
It's kind of lonely at the top. I mean, former champions are looking like, what, Rey Mysterio, if you want to count Bobby Roode from the NXT days. I don't think I could. Karrion Kross may go up there. I say the biggest pickup they got from SmackDown was Finn Balor. And it's kind of weird they said 2-for-1 because the Demon actually got signed to Raw too. That's fine. But you think about what Big E needs, right? He needs good challengers, someone to push him to the limit. You need those people who doesn't seem to be like overtly antagonistic, someone with their own agenda, someone that has people that will split the audience so Big E can win them over. I got to go with Finn Balor, man.
I can't argue with that. Come on. That's Fergalicious, man. I think it's
Fergalicious.
Hey.
Yo, this dude's gonna kill me one day. No, no, no. I can't argue with that. Just everything you said. You know, it's Finn, man. You know, it's what he does. He's one of the modern day workhorses. He's the guy that gives you a good match. He's a guy who's been over everywhere he's ever been. There's something about Finn that resonates with people. It's not like we don't know why. He's great. He's great in the ring. He looks like a million bucks, man. He has a chiseled jaw. What the hell you want me to say, man? It's Finn Balor. That's definitely the best pick. I don't know why I didn't think of it.
I mean, yeah, his abs go all the way up to his forehead, and the fact that he's clearly the smartest guy in pro wrestling. He's getting two contracts from Raw as one person.
He's a shrewd businessman on top of everything else. To boot.
Demon wants a bus.
he has a list of demands.
The Ringer, did I mention that I also am a demon and the demon deserves a contract as well?
Oh, my God. Are
I want two contracts.
He just trying to get two contracts on the show.
That Demon raps, too, is dope. But here's Barb. Demon Jack Barber.
I can't believe it. But yeah, you know, I got a little demon in me too, Spotify. What's going on?
Yeah, everyone's got a little demon, so we need to get an extra contract in there. But
that is ridiculous.
But, I mean, yeah, he's a superstar. Kind of like I was saying about Shayna Baszler over the past year, Finn Balor is one of those guys that he can cool down, he can take some losses, but every time that music hits, you're like, it's on. It's showtime. It's the big star. It's the main event. He has that thing, and you can plug him in anytime, anywhere, and it works. Just I don't know why, but I mean, maybe because he's a star and all the reasons I'm saying. But you plug him in against anyone right now. You say Dolph Ziggler versus Finn Balor. You're like, oh, that's gonna slap.
That's the thing about him, and that's what I love about Finn, man. And I like that. I like that. I like that you brought that up, Flobo, like him and Big E and what it represents and things that the potential that match could have, you know, down the road. And he's instantly a main event guy. Like I said, it's interesting, man. There's something about him when this era, when everyone's talking about people are too small, and he is small, and they know he is small, but he's still that guy that they trust. There's something about Finn that resonates with even people going against their, you know, their whole aesthetic. You know what I mean? Like, there's this aesthetic that WWE gets accused of having, and you know, and their track record does warrant that criticism. But for some reason, man, Fergalicious, man, they don't give a damn. Oh, they'll give a damn. He was 6 feet or 60 feet. They don't really care. You know what I mean? So it's
a 60-foot wrestler.
You know, man.
But I'm with you though. But like, I feel like whether it was the first version of Finn Balor, even when he went back into the Prince, which now seems like the little side quest, right?
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
It was a way to express himself in a mode that he can stay true to himself and still have a character with mass appeal. I know we say don't want to talk about the corporate side of things, but mass appeal matters.
Just,
you got to be on action figures. When you talked about quarterly reports earnings, we say we have these dope characters. Yep. You got to say, hey, Finn Balor.
Lily was the hottest selling item, like on the WWE.
Absolutely, show. Yeah. Where was the Charlie?
And I still think, even though the Demon just lost, he could still have that Undertaker mythical presence. Whenever you find out the Demon's coming, it becomes a huge deal, and so it could become a Undertaker at WrestleMania thing. The Demon shows up at WrestleMania or once a year or whatever, however they end up doing it. But I think the Demon still has that mythical presence to him.
Absolutely. So, I guess Jack you up?
Yeah. So, similar vein to Finn Balor, I'm gonna say Seth Rollins. I mean, he wasn't gone from Raw from long, but we are back to Monday Night Rollins, baby. He is here to remedy all the problems of the black and red brand, the red brand, I guess. Black and red is NXT UK.
UK.
Any case, the red brand, Raw. 3 hours.
Classic red. Scarlet, Vermilion, Crimson.
So the thing about Seth Rollins is he has this talent that I think goes very underappreciated in pro wrestling. Finn Balor does it too. I think maybe AJ Styles, maybe one of the only other guys that has it, where you can put him anywhere on the card and it works. If Seth Rollins stared down Reggie for the 24/7 title, you'd go, that's interesting. If he approached Damian Priest for the US title, you'd go, oh, that's going to be great. If he challenged Big E right now, you'd say, you know what? He's earned a shot back at the world title. I believe in that. That could work. He's got everything you need to really reinvigorate that brand, and he has the ability to go up and down the card, which is what you need on a show that is a behemoth like Raw, 3 hours long. You need someone who can do that and be that flexible. And I think he's going to give that brand everything it needs to be as flexible as it needs to be.
Student of the game, man. Student of the game. Loves the craft. Loves trying to reinvent himself. Loves trying to do different things to keep himself fresh. Look how far he's come. How you guys feel about the drip version of Seth Rollins?
I like it, but it's the wrong time. I felt like I like the idea of that because the Monday Night Messiah thing was kind of like running its course. But there's so many wrestlers now that are doing the drip thing that it seems like derivative, even though it's not. He's doing the obnoxious thing on purpose.
Yeah.
But you look at like you look at Kenny Omega, or you look at people who are taking it seriously, like Bobby Lashley or MVP. It's like drip is in, or even John Morrison, JoMo. Like drip is in. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, okay, you just put yourself in that category. I want to do something unique from the Monday Night Messiah, Monday Night Rollins, or whatever you got.
Yeah, because I'm a firm believer, and I don't even know if he needs anything, to be honest with you. Mm. He's one of those guys I don't think really needs a gimmick, to be completely honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's that great in the ring. I think he's that polished on the microphone where he doesn't really need anything over the top. But it's kind of cool that him and Becky doing like the same thing. That's kind of cool.
I think
that's adorable. I like when couples match.
I like the only thing I don't like about the drip thing with Seth Rollins is I think it makes everyone think it's just an outfit. But he's doing so much more right now than just the way he's dressing. The way he's so unhinged and kind of crazy and weird. I think that's the real character. I mean, yeah, he dresses crazy and he has cool suits, but there's so much more to it than that. If he was still just coming out in his ring gear, the character is what stands out to me more than anything else. So the drip is cool, but the only thing I don't like about it is it takes away from the amazing character work he's doing.
Yeah, he's doing a really good job. Like I said, you're right. You get a good match at him no matter where you put him. I'm excited to see who they put him up against. There's a lot. I mean, Raw is very interesting. They stacked it very interesting. I know it's just brand switching. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're all still in the same building per se. You know what I mean? They're all still hanging around, but you know it feels kind of cool. Some of the things they're going to be doing and some of the people you're going to see them facing. I'm saying it takes effect like October 22nd, I believe, or the 22nd or 23rd. I think it takes effect.
I'm excited for the change. I think it's gonna be very beneficial to Raw. I think Raw really needed it. SmackDown was doing great. I think Raw really needed some fresh blood in it.
Right now it's killing it.
But it's I feel like the WWE just makes the draft as confusing as possible for something that should be so simple. It's something we literally do in like gym class where you pick teams, but they make the thing so difficult where it's like half are available one day, the other half are available, but you don't know who's actually available and who's not actually available, and it doesn't take place right away. I don't know. They make it very confusing for what should be so simple. But at the end of the day, I'm happy with the end result. It's just I feel like they make it way more confusing than they need to.
I can't disagree. I was trying to go a little like outside of the box, and I think one of the biggest pickups stay for Monday Night Raw is Miss Mia Yim, the HBICA. Listen, because I thought they were gonna make it more grandiose. I thought they were gonna make it more of a spectacle. I really, really did. The fact that they snuck her in is how I know they still feel like they might have did her a disservice with that stuff they were doing, Retribution. You know what I mean? Because they kind of just go, oh, and Mia Yim. You know what I mean? So I go, okay. She's back on. She's on Raw. Okay, she's on Raw. Okay, it says Mia Yim. Okay, she's been picked up. Okay, now listen, a lot of the fans, there was a lot of hoopla. There was a lot of stuff in the Twitter sphere. Now, this is the chance for social media to prove to me that y'all don't just talk foolishness just to talk foolishness. Are y'all really behind Mia? Are y'all really going to cheer? Is that going to translate to the crowds? Because there was this huge groundswell, everybody being like, yo, where Mia Yim at? Yo, where she at? You know what I'm saying? I don't appreciate this. That's how all y'all sounded on Twitter. So I'm saying, so what I'm trying to say is that going to translate? Because if you come out there and y'all don't pop, I'm going to have some problems. I'm going to knock on each every one of y'all's door like that Jay and Silent Bob at the end of that movie, man, and just be like, yo, what's going on? So hopefully this pickup means you guys got exactly what you wanted to get. There's no more wearing the mask. You're going to come out as the HBIC. She's going to do her thing. So I hope that things translate for Miss Mia Yim.
Yeah, those responses have to be sustained, too. You can't just do the quick, like, yay, and then sit on your hands the rest of the match and she's out
there. Everyone was like, what's going on? What's going on? I go, all right.
Yeah, you got to show the support. You got to buy the T-shirt. You got to be loud every time she's out there. You got to chant her name. You got to show that you really love her the same way that people do with all the other biggest stars if you want that to show that love. It's easy to go on Twitter and say, hashtag where's Mia Yim or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you have to really show that it's not just a Twitter complaint, because no one cares about Twitter complaints. You got to show the real support.
Unless somebody gets canceled and lose their job for saying the wrong thing. But Twitter has weird power sometimes.
Yeah, it does. And it comes with a little bit of a long-term love, too. Like, you have to be able to take a character you like and say, okay, yeah, I'm going to keep cheering for them, even though this first thing doesn't work for them.
Yeah.
We've seen people go, oh, we want this guy up there. Right. And then when they do something that goes left, they go, oh, they ruined him. So I'm not going to watch.
I know you got to ride.
Not watching is the worst thing you do.
He's doing character work. Or she's doing character work. You got to ride with them, man. You got to ride through the ups and downs, the peaks and valleys, man. Ride with me and Gam.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, and Flobo, I love that point. Because, yeah, when the people who say they ruined them, I'm done with them, that's why they didn't get any love. That's why they didn't get the push. It's because they saw, oh, wow, people gave up on them that quickly. No one cares. Okay, then let's get rid of them. You need to support them through the bad times. That's how they get where they need to go. Is you need to be there for them during those bad times. But
yeah, by the way, my Apollo Crews shirt is now, what, 4 years old? I had the first one, dang it.
You gotta ride. You gotta ride for Apollo Crews. You know what I'm saying? Stone Mountain Joys is fine.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Yo, man, listen, okay, with that being said, man, it's about a little bit of time. I'm feeling some goodwill around here, some positive vibes, something real smooth, something real sultry. I'm feeling like D-Lo appreciation.
Oh, let's talk about one of the most underrated superstars of all time, D-Lo Brown. We do each and every week here on D-Lo Appreciation. Listen, we all know the importance of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. It was short-lived, but it definitely rippled through. And you know D'Lo Brown was a part of the group called The Gangstas, which, not to say it compares, but people say it kind of gets grouped as Shades in the Nation of Domination, which is another group that D'Lo was in, but that's another story for another time. Jim Cornette at the time was running Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and he was told about D'Lo Brown. And he said, I didn't really know who he was. He thought he was Ernie Ladd looking, but he wasn't sure, but he was, quote, natural. He can actually work. And the thing is, he said he put them with the Gangstas because Mustafa, had the look. New Jack can talk his ear off, but they couldn't work worth a dang. To trust someone who was a CPA, somebody who didn't even have to wrestle, but decided to do it because he loved it and was passionate about it so much. They put in a group to give it any bit of wrestling acumen, any bit of wrestling credibility. That was the ball D'Lo Brown was given. So shout out to D'Lo Brown making it happen even back then in the 90s. Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Yes, right, Jack. You nod your head in appreciation for D'Lo Brown this week.
Shout out to D'Lo Brown, baby!
The real deal.
Listen, I love getting these little tidbits about the great D'Lo Brown. I like people do the deep dive and you see why somebody's great. D'Lo appreciation in full effect, baby.
D'Lo's gonna be like, who is this guy you talking about?
Listen, I'm telling you, my goal is for him to hear this and be like, yo, this is dope. You know what I mean? Like, come on, let's be real, man. Because this is not you're not being facetious. This is not hyperbole. This, you actually did work on that. Like, you actually appreciate D'Lo.
Yeah, man. But favorite wrestler.
I was gonna say, I have my favorite wrestlers. I don't know if I could support them the way, like, I don't know if I could back them up with the same information that you do. I'm just like, they're cool. I like them.
That was a deep dive, man. Man, listen, haul the way, Jack. Let's go, baby.
Haul the way. So haul the way. This is a segment where I name a wrestler and we decide if they were to leave wrestling forever as of now, have they already done enough to go to the Hall of Fame? Will they go haul the way? This one's going to strike a chord with, I know at least with Flobo, but this one is one that I think is a guy who's been around for a while. He's making hay. I'm going to ask, if he was to retire today, would Montel Vontavious Porter go into the Hall of Fame?
This is where I ask, what are the accolades there, Jack Farmer?
So the positives, right? Within the WWE, he has won the U.S. Championship twice and frankly was the face of the title in a lot of ways for a long time. He's a tag team champion, the 2020 Slammy Award winner for Best Trash Talker, managed the Hurt Business, has incredible longevity, and is very recognizable. Beyond that, though, he was also the CBS Sports Comeback Wrestler of the Year, the PWI Comeback Wrestler of the Year, the IWGP Intercontinental Champion, Wrestling Observer Most Improved, Most Underrated, and his biggest accolade, possibly, he was in the hit film MacGruber.
He was in MacGruber. You're so ridiculous.
What? And above all, that's an SNL movie, I tell you.
I was going to say no until you said that.
Yeah, for real, man. You just totally convinced
me. Shout out to MacGruber.
MacGruber!
Yeah, shout out to MacGruber, boy. Shout out to Will Forte. But
I would say his cons are...
Give me a con.
Hasn't won the world title. Spent a long time away from the company, and he had a big losing streak, which isn't necessarily a great thing. And one of the other cons was he was in MacGruber.
You are so ridiculous. You are absolutely ridiculous. You use it as a pro and a con. This is ridiculous. Yo,
that is the sound of Will Forte unsubscribing to our podcast.
We need listeners. Damn it,
MacGruber. I saw that in theaters. That was a funny movie.
MacGruber's it's fun, man. It's fun. I like it's like reminded me of like Hot Shots. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's stupid, but it's fun.
Oh my gosh, shout out to MacGruber. Oh, saw Venom yesterday, Flames, by the way. Shout out to Andy Serkis.
Oh, no, right.
Shout out to Andy Serkis doing something different with Venom, man. Shout out to your boy Gollum, you know what I mean, doing a style. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, so watch Venom. I highly recommend it. But
I know you're a Tom Hardy guy.
Yeah, you know Tom Hardy's my favorite actor ever, so let's just stop this
foolishness
right now. Change it. I'm changing the show right. You know what I mean? Favorite and then there's best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's favorite
and
there's best. I don't want to go off Mac Mania podcast, but if I start gushing over Tom Hardy, we're gonna have a problem. Up in here. If I talk about the nuances and the ability of this man, woo, Lord Jesus, Tom Hardy can act, boy. When it says action, he's on. But Tom Hardy can play me without doing blackface, and he can be successful. Tom Hardy can play me with a deep tan, and you will believe it was me. I'm telling you, and he would not get canceled because he wouldn't do it the blackface thing. He would just tan, and he would play Evan, and he would do the Mac Brady Puckets better than me. 1 month prep.
For all we know, you are Tom Hardy.
Exactly. I could be Tom Hardy right now. You would not know.
He's right.
Because I'm a little under the weather, and it could be the whole like methodology of Tom Hardy. Let me go. So listen, yo, I got on all the way. I'm gonna say no.
Ooh. Why is that, man? I'm curious.
We're saying if his career ended right now, would it be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has been in the game long enough. I guess he's done enough for the, you know, I guess he has done enough for the business. He could say he was instrumental. I don't think he gets enough credit that Paul Heyman gets for the whole Roman Reigns thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Roman Reigns. So I guess a closer inspection, if I really not trying to be a stick in the mud, and think about that, because he really did the thing that the Hurt Business did revitalize Bobby Lashley's career. I personally didn't think, I think Bobby, you could always been in the title picture, but for some reason they always act like you need something. So, and I guess that was that. I remember hearing MVP talk. He was talking how he's supposed to just be in the back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, you know, so just that alone for his willingness to be able to get in front of the camera again, because he was supposed to just be in the back helping people out, kind of like TJ does. And it turned into this thing. And next thing you know, Bobby Lashley's champion, one of the best runs ever. Why not, man? I'm feeling generous today on Tuesday morning. Because this damn lawnmower, man, it keeps interrupting me. So, yes, man, I say yes.
I don't think this is debate. First ballot. I'll put him in first there right
ballot.
Now.
Wait a
right
minute. First ballot.
Look, you, I got to be honest
Shannon,
with you.
Shannon Sharp, my favorite tight end. It took him like three tries. And he's like, what do you mean first ballot?
I understand. Let's go backwards. Robbie Lashley is now took a storyline that was that wasn't working with the Lana stuff. And they found a storyline reason to put him with MVP. I did too. But we argued about it. You told me how cool it would be to get Bobby Lashley on TV. But anyway.
Television.
I mean, look.
I just wanted to see his beautiful face on TV.
The ageless face of Bobby Lashley.
Seriously.
Vampire.
Seriously.
Vampire Lashley.
Yo, Bobby. Hey, Bobby. Stop all this foolishness and let me know when you were turned by what vampire turned you in what year.
Right.
1700s, like 1600s, 1500s.
You're not age.
He's literally 700 years old. You answer this question. Everybody is listening to Mac Mini Party. When have you seen Bobby Lashley in the sunlight?
That's why he's so mad. He hasn't lost in 200 years.
So
the hurt business, the Bobby Lashley storyline is one of the greatest ones in the modern era, right? That's table stakes. But MVP's return, we were talking about the U.S. Title run before he left, is usually two people. Usually John Cena's open challenge or MVP taking that and making it his own.
He did, though.
But even before that, when he was signed to SmackDown, he didn't show up. There wasn't promos and vignettes. There was actually news covers, quote unquote, about him being signed as a free agent talent, very much like the Big Five sports. That, to me, changed the game. The draft does not have that pretense without that today. Doesn't have that pretense without strong, that we're getting superstar films. Everything gets changed after that. Trades, everything gets changed. Even sports updates, injury updates. We go behind the scenes behind these athletes now. I mean, MVP's character was as prototypical of what wrestling is now. I gotta say, just on that alone, MVP goes to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I can't listen. You put him over. I can't argue with that first ballot. No, but I
do they have first?
Because he was on the cutting edge. Nobody was wearing the gear he was wearing. That's all Under Armour stuff right now. Like he was his gear was ahead of its time. No, I said he's all right with me. He's all right with me.
Yeah,
Edge was first.
Do they have first ballot? I mean, but that was like what counts?
You know, I know what Flo was saying. It's like when you say it, it's one of those things like it's like unquestioned, like Tom Brady first ballot. Yeah. Like I know what you mean. Like when you're like no question about it. They don't do like the first and second ballot thing. Like people don't know. I think it's four or five times with the NFL or something like that. I'm just saying my favorite tight end, one of the greatest tight ends of all time. It took him three tries to get in. Three tries for Shannon Sharp. Are you crazy?
There were haters out there, man. You know.
There are haters.
When I say first, when I say first ballot. That makes me think he's in the ilk of Undertaker and stuff, and that's I can't do that.
I guess I think of Hall of Fame for WWE, it's less first ballot and more like headliner or not.
Interesting.
Like where do they fall?
So that's kind of like their first ballot. But he's in there though. He's in there, man. He is. He's in there. For everything Flobo highlighted and the things that I started reminding myself as I started like talking. You know what I mean?
I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Well, then when he goes in, he's gonna have a great speech. By the way, I bet he's gonna have one of the best speeches of the year. He goes in.
I believe that because there's gonna be people that you don't know who he's gonna thank along the way, and the people that he feel like it's gonna be good to see who inducts him or he chooses to induct him. It's gonna be interesting. So we're gonna put that poll up for sure, man, and see what people.
Sick the shock is
what people
them.
Think. But I realize all the polls are people just contrarian and just want to hate on everything. So like, when I put the poll up for MVP, he's gonna be like, no. I'm gonna be like,
it's gonna be a bunch of people who didn't listen to the show and like, but he's not done yet.
Listen to the show, yo, man. Without further ado, trying to get the ladies some love with Flo B Toast Boo Thang of the week.
Flo B Toast Boo Thang of the week.
Talk about a draft, and there were titles moving, there was characters moving back and forth, but there was one person that made an impact on both nights, and she is the Queen Charlotte Flair. Ooh, we don't know what the rosters are going to be 3 weeks from roster lock or whatever we're going to call it. I'm not sure what the real term is, but the end of SmackDown, Charlotte was standing tall, and the show today, she does not pull punches. This version of Charlotte is on another level on the microphone, and she already had the pedigree that was already there. So Charlotte Flair had a runaway this time.
Best of all time.
It's not even close. It ain't even close. I know they put her in the position to be the best of all time, but she delivers time and time again. You know what I mean? You know, about who's hotter than Top Dollar.
Yeah. Nada. I'm not going in front of court, in front of the judge for not saying the rest of the line.
Oh my God, sir.
No, but hey, a lot of people are put in the position to be the best, and then they don't deliver.
Exactly,
it happens. A lot of people all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, in all sports, not just wrestling, but there.
No, I got chill when you said that. Yeah. It's true, bro.
So people saying that, oh, they're just trying to make her. Well, it's one thing to be put there; it's another thing to deliver.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Can I say they started doing a Charlotte Sucks chant and lasted 10 seconds because they know it's not true?
Yeah.
They're like, uh-oh. It's like
your subconscious was like, what the hell are you doing right now?
Yeah.
I apologize. Yeah. Like
the deep recesses of your mind was like, uh-uh.
No. That person went home that night too and was like, stupid. God, I was like,
what was I doing?
I tried to start this chant. It was just fooling. Like, that's how great. She's so great that you literally apologize and like you apologize and get mad at yourself for even thinking about doing it. Good Lord. No, but you're right, Jack. Everything you're saying, you're right, man.
Yeah, she's the best. So
we wait. What to say? Look, booth bag of the week. Only I can say the flow was, why it takes so damn long? That should have been the first booth bag of the week. Charlotte Flair.
It's a big roster. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's official. Flobo's a hater. Flobo hates Charlotte Flair.
Oh, what? Yo, shout out to Charlotte Flair. This week's booth bag of the week, man. Unbelievable. Like I said, unbelievable, man. And for some reason, just started going crazy with the gear too. Mm-hmm. Sort of going crazy with the gear. The Thanos drip is the best she's ever wore. That is just disgusting.
Yes.
She literally.
Or Friday nights down to Troy drip. Oh my God.
Like, come on. Like, and she's doing the deep cuts because she's like, I'm a villain. So she's rocking villains. Like, I'm like, yo, that's crazy. Yo, shout out to Charlotte Flair, man. Going a step further with the gear. Always looks on point when she's just backstage for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
With, like, just, you know what I mean? Just unbelievable, man. So shout out to Charlotte Flair. But yes, before we wrap this bad boy up and get the hell on out of here, yo. I like to take a trip, man. It's like sometimes you go down there. There's a couple places I know, man. A couple places I know where you want to get some steak and some eggs, man. Maybe you want to get a funnel cake. Maybe you want to see some pigs do some walk around. Maybe you want to see somebody, you know what I mean? Maybe you want to ride on a little pony, you know what I mean? This is the only brother. Place you can go to do that is the farmer's market. Bro. What the hell you do at the farmer's market? I ain't been there in a while.
You can ride a pony at the farmer's market, can't you?
Damn it. I ain't talking about that nice one at the Grove, man. I'm talking about like the regular one in like middle earth.
Yeah, it's well, most farmers markets are just tables with fruits and vegetables on them.
Listen, well, I'm from Pennsylvania, man. We got pony rides and petting zoos.
But this is the farmers market. This is where my name's Jack Farmer. We call it farmers market because my name's Farmer, but we treat the wrestlers like stocks. And which wrestler should you invest in right now? And sometimes when it comes to investing, people overthink it and they're like, they think like you have to get this like crazy cryptocurrency being mined out of Czechoslovakia that's going for a penny right now. But if it goes up to $1,000, you'll be a millionaire.
Czech Republic reference?
It doesn't even exist anymore.
It's the Czech Republic. Yeah. My God, what a reference.
That's why
if you get some stock in Czechoslovakia, you are screwed.
That's why it's a bad investment. But people overthink it, right? Like, they overthink it. And sometimes you think to yourself, maybe just buy the Starbucks. Just get the Starbucks. It's already high now, but it's probably going to keep going up. It's going to be a safe pick. And in the vein of that, I say right now, you need to invest in Big E. Sure, he's already the champion. But look, map out the next few months for him. He's going up against Drew McIntyre at Crown Jewel. Drew McIntyre is headed off to SmackDown. He's not taking that title. And then you look at all the biggest names that could be there to take the title.
You're spoiling endings?
Look, I know, right?
You in the dirt sheets?
All of his biggest opponents that could be on the brand right now. Orton, AJ, Mysterio, they're all tied up in tag teams right now. He's going to be the champion for a while, and he's proven, by the way, that he is going to be the face of Raw going forward. He's already a high-value pick, but this one's not going down. Like I said, like Starbucks, it already costs a lot of money, but guess what? It's going to keep on going. It's going to keep going up. So do yourself a favor. Quit trying to pick a Cinderella. Pick a favorite. Pick Big E.
I'm definitely buying. What the hell you want me to do?
It was like, nah, I can't do that. He's a champion. Like, what?
I like the bold pick. It's a bold pick, Flobito.com. Big E, bye. Because let's be real, the range just started. So this is the time you do buy.
because the rain has just started. Yeah, you want to look back on this 397 days from now.
No, not necessarily. Yeah. Though you look at some guys, like Jack Swagger won the title, and people may have said, hey, I'm going to invest in him. He just won the title.
I did.
You take a bath on that one. So we don't know what's going to happen, but I think Big E has shown that he's just getting started. This is not going to be a short title reign. It's not going to be something where he's in the world title picture and then disappears from the world title picture forever. He's the guy on Raw, and he's going to be the guy for a long time. He's going to be the face of that brand for a long time. This is one of those investments that it's going to be a safe one. Sure, it's not going to blow anyone away. No one's shocked at this name. But it's still a good investment. Like I said, it's like a Starbucks, it's like a Netflix, it's like an Amazon, it's like a Disney.
I'll take it.
It's already expensive, but it's still a good pick.
If it comes to pony ride, I'll take it too.
Pony ride's where I'm from. Listen, that was Farmer's Market. Big E, bye, crawl across the board. Tom Hardy, I love you. You the best. This is the end of this podcast.
You are Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy! That's it from Mac Mania. I'll see y'all next week. We got something cooking next week. We're going to do something really cool next week. So y'all hanging with me. Appreciate y'all. Y'all love peace, chicken grease. Jack, lobito.com at the Mac. Tom Hardy. We'll